Please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Matthew, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. Actually, chapter 4. We're going to read a section from chapter 4 into chapter 5 and then going over to chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. Chapter 4, beginning of verse 23, is found on page 1114 in the Black Pew Bibles. Page 1114. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, that is, from the area of the ten cities, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. And seeing the multitude, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them. And over to Matthew 6, the section on the Sermon on the Mount, dealing with prayer. Chapter 6, beginning at verse 5, page 1116 in the Black Pew Bibles. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We turn to our confession to Lord's Day 47, page 60, in the back of our Psalter hymnals. Lord's Day 47, question and answer 122. Question, what does the first request mean? Answer, hallowed be your name means, help us to really know you, to bless, worship, and praise you for all your works and for all that shines forth from them, your almighty power, wisdom, kindness, justice, mercy, and truth. And it means help us to direct all our living, what we say, think, say, and do, so that your name will never be blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, so we read that earlier description from Matthew chapter 4 and 5. What's going on in the context, we would be amazed to see such a multitude of people. Here's Jesus on that higher point on the mountain, his disciples spread around as first semicircle, as it were, of people closest to him. And then beyond that, other semicircles, other layers of people all around. A great multitude. And it's like we are sitting there in the midst of them this afternoon. Jesus has already taught much about what it means to be, to live as a citizen of his kingdom. He's described the character of citizens of his kingdom. They are to be those who are poor in spirit, those who mourn over sin, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. He's taught them the law and applying the law to them. And now as he comes in this section of chapter 6 to prayer, he teaches us how to pray. There's one thing that is to characterize us as those who are citizens of his kingdom, those who trust in Jesus Christ, is that our lives are to be characterized by prayer. He has already taught us that all those who trust in him know God the Father as their Father and can call upon the Father in heaven in trust, knowing that he will hear them. And yet, as he leads us further in this matter of teaching us to pray, we wonder, what are Christ's citizens to pray for? What are we who are citizens to approach God for? What is to be on our lips? What is to be even the greatest concern that is to be on our lips that gets pushed through and pushes all others aside so that it comes first and foremost to our Father in heaven? When we go through difficulties, we may want that difficulty to end. It's very painful. Maybe physical hurt. We want it to end. Difficulties in our relationships between parents and children, between friends, between colleagues. And we want that tension to end. Could be hungry and want that food. Yet Jesus says our first concern before food or our relief of pain is that God's name be treated as holy. This is the first thing we need to ask the Father to work into us. Yet what does it mean to pray, "Hallowed be your name"? Well, let us look at the Word of God in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. And the Word of God is summarized in Lord's Day 47 to learn what it means to pray for grace to hallow God's name. Jesus' kingdom citizens ask for his strength, ask for the Father's strength, his grace, to hallow his name. And this petition concerns three things. First of all, our quest for true knowledge of God. Our quest, our pursuit of, our seeking true knowledge of God. And secondly, our response to the true knowledge of God. And thirdly, our publication of the true knowledge of God. So when we're praying, "Hallowed be your name," we are those who come to the Father seeking true knowledge of God. We are those in this request concerned about the name. We are those committed to knowing that name, the name of God, His whole character, His whole person. We want to really know Him and grow in our knowledge of Him. We don't want the kind of knowledge the hypocrite in verses 5 and 6 is satisfied to have. People mentioned in verse 5 are a part of the local gathering of God's people. They have learned about prayer in the synagogue. And in that place they came and heard the Old Testament explained, Sabbath after Sabbath after Sabbath. And they learned facts about God, about how He led Israel out of Egypt by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. They learned the fact that His steadfast love endures forever. They learned His law that is that pathway of holiness, that walk of the covenant. Yet those mentioned in verse 5 don't really know God, because they weren't seeking to commune with Him. They were seeking to impress themselves, to impress others with their praying. They are not there seeking to commune with God. So to pray seriously the request, "Hallowed be Your name," we must pray as those who want to know God through communing with Him. We ought to be those who want to meet with our God in prayer, to truly know Him. We do not just want to know a list of facts about God, nor are we satisfied with people thinking well of us, or of us thinking well of ourselves because of our prayer, the way that we pray. We want the blessing of meeting with our Father in heaven. We want to know God. Our hearts are also set on gaining a real knowledge of God. We don't want the kind of knowledge of God that is like the heathen mentioned in verse 7. The heathen are those who pray to a god of their own imaginations. The heathen imagine that their gods, like Baal, have to be convinced to care for them. Boys and girls, you will remember the time with Elijah, the prophet Elijah. And him meeting with all of Israel, all of northern Israel, at area of Mount Carmel. And it was a day that there was a test set forth. They set up two altars. You remember the two altars? One to the true God, the other to the altar to Baal. And sacrifices were set up on both of them. And the one who would answer by fire, that would be God. And the prophets of Baal and Asherah had the first shot at it. And they got up and they danced around the altar. They jumped up on the altar. They cried out to Baal, basically until their voices were hoarse. They cut themselves to show the seriousness of their pleading with Baal. And there was no answer. That's the kind of behavior that Jesus is talking about, that the heathen think that they have to engage in to get their God to listen to them. But then Elijah prayed, simply prayed, in line with the will of God. And God answered with fire from heaven, so that it not only consumed the altar, not only consumed the sacrifice, not only consumed the altar, but that soaking wet sacrifice and altar being consumed, the fire also licked up the water that was around the altar. The Lord, He is God. He is not like these heathen gods that are a product of man's imagination. He is the true God. And our hearts, when we pray, "Hallowed be Your name," we want to know that God. Not as one who we imagine Him to be, but one who has revealed Himself to us in His Word. Beloved, it is so easy to slip into thinking about God as we imagine Him to be, rather than knowing Him as He truly is. I often talk about hardships because I think that's where our hearts are most readily revealed. And how in difficulty some feel God is distant. Because their Heavenly Father doesn't seem to be doing anything about their pain, they start to believe that He doesn't care. But it's all a lie. Because God reveals Himself in His Word as love. When Jesus then says in verse 8 that our Father in heaven isn't like the idols, that He knows what we need of even before we ask it, He is basing His words on what the Scriptures say about God. He knows what you need before you ask it because He has chosen to care for you. He is this God of Psalm 139 who knew you even in your mother's womb and knit you together in your mother. He is this one of Psalm 121 who neither slumbers nor sleeps, but guards all His people. Our help comes in the name of the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. And so it is when we pray, "Hallowed be Your name," we are requesting from the Lord His work in our hearts, so that He might show us from His Word more and more who He is. We want Him to reveal to us where we have the wrong view about God. We come in this prayer, "Hallowed be Your name," determined to cling to the truth about God as revealed in the Scriptures and to throw away that which is of our imagination. The greater context of the Sermon on the Mount tells us that in praying, "Hallowed be Your name," we are also praying for that grace to know God experientially. We want that knowledge of Him that comes as we follow His ways, resting on His promises. We come wanting to know that name, following Him in obedient faith. This is the walk of the covenant. We aren't just satisfied to learn that He is Almighty from the recounting of the Exodus of Israel or of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We want to know Him. Like the Apostle Paul, we want to know Christ in the power of His resurrection. Daily at work in us, changing us to be more like Christ in character and action. We want to know Him in the fellowship of His sufferings. A fellowship experience as we seek His way by faith. We want to know Him by being comforted to conform to His death, which happens as we, by the power of the Holy Spirit, put to death the works of the flesh. We do all this longing to know Him in the resurrection yet to come. Hallowed be Your name. Father, help us to truly know You. The second thing we're praying for in this request is for the Father to work in us the correct response to the knowledge of Him. The correct response to the knowledge of Him. We want to sanctify God. We want to not just simply bless Him. We want to actually sanctify Him. The older versions of the Heidelberg Catechism have those words of sanctify, glorify, and praise God as a result. And those are the terms I'm going to use this afternoon. We are praying, "Hallowed be Your name." We want to sanctify God as our response to being exposed to His greatness and the wonder of who He is as revealed to us in the Bible. We want to treat Him as God alone. We are to give Him first place in our lives as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords that He is. We can know the truth about God, and yet live as those holding on to our desires as if they were God. Let me explain. Christ, by the work of His Spirit in us, has brought us to faith in Himself. We are restored creations, enabled by His power to serve our Father in heaven as His prophet, priest, and servant, kings and queens in this world. Ministry to others is restored to us in Jesus Christ. And now let's say that you desire to relax a bit after a hard day of work. Some of you have heard this illustration before, but I repeat it. Now, to relax is a good desire. For the Lord Jesus even took His disciples away for a time to rest from their kingdom work. And yet, when you come home, you see your wife needs a break. One of your children needs you to take them somewhere. Here are times of ministry that God is calling you and calling me to engage in, to serve Him. And yet your desire to relax may have changed into a demand to be able to relax. You respond in an irritated way because your family isn't helping you to get the object of your worship, namely relaxation time. And so it is that our good desires quickly push God and His desire to the side. We pray for the Father to help us to truly know Him, His purposes and His commandments as contained in the Bible. Yet we know that that is not enough. We are in this prayer calling on Him to give us the grace needed to put to death all our desires that seek to push Him off the throne. We pray for grace to be those who always honor Him, to always honor His purposes, always honor His commandments, that we treat Him as God alone. Hallowed be Your name. And in this prayer we're praying, we're also asking for that strength for this other response of glorifying God. Now, when you take a magnifying glass, you know, and you use it on a page, you're using it to make that page, those letters on that page, look bigger, right? So that you can read it easier, so you can see it easier. To glorify God is like that, is that we want to be used by God as a magnifying glass. Not turned on ourselves, but turned on God. We want to live in such a way that our God and Father is more and more seen as the great one that He is. How does the Father often work, though, to achieve His glory in us? Many times, He will work through trials. Small trials, small difficulties, big difficulties. He works through those things. Through trials, He's removing from us that which is not like Christ, while at the same time producing in us what is like Christ in character. Through trials, His strength is shown in our weakness. In trials, He comforts us so as to equip us to minister that comfort to other people. He puts us, in fact, through trials in places and into the lives of others who need to be ministered to. Yes, the Bible, from the Bible we see God's power, goodness, wisdom, justice, mercy, and truth. We see He is worthy of being glorified by us and in us. And yet, the flesh doesn't want to go through hardship. The flesh doesn't want to sacrifice that which is needed to be sacrificed to bring God increased honor. We are praying in this request, "Hallowed be your name. Father, give me that strength. Give me that grace to yearn for your glory and to submit in faith to whatever you send into my life to bring about your glory." We want His name magnified. And if it takes us going through a difficulty to do so, then Father, give me the grace to do it, to live it. And the final response we focus on is God's praise. God's praise. But praise really is not possible if we will not sanctify the Lord God as God in our hearts. Isaiah chapter 1 says that Judah's worship was rejected by God because they wouldn't repent. They wouldn't turn away from their sin. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, we read that God doesn't want lip worship where our hearts are far from Him. Our hearts must be bent on His glory if our praises are to please Him. Beloved, the Lord is worthy of praise. Look at His character revealed in the Bible. He is love. He is wisdom, truth, justice, righteousness, holiness, long-suffering. Look around you, outside this door. Look at His works of creation. Read His word and of His past acts of greatness. Let these things lead us to pray for grace, and let us seek to praise Him from a heart that has sanctified the Lord as God, and from a heart bent on glorifying Him. Hallowed be your name. Earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus had said that all of His citizens are salt. He said, "You are the salt of the earth." And then He said, "You are the light of the world." And He said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." In this first petition of the Lord's Prayer, we hear of our need to be concerned about the world around us, how they respond to the God of glory as a result of how we speak, as a result of how we live in this world. Each of you by baptism had the triune name of God placed upon you. And you take that name of the triune God with you into all of the circumstances where you go. Whether to the playground, whether to the classroom, whether to the workplace, whether to the marketplace. Wherever you go, the name of God is taken with you. We represent Him with our words and our deeds. And through faith in Christ, we are able to once again bear His image, be like mirrors reflecting His character. Not perfectly, but we are able to reflect His character to the world as we serve Him as His prophets, priests, and servant kings and queens. To bear His name and reflect His character is such a great privilege and duty that we marvel at it. How sad it ought to make us when we hear at work that our fellow worker claims to be a Christian, but is known by non-Christians at work for his dirty jokes. How sad to take a stand for keeping the Lord's Day, only to find out that George also claims to be a Christian, but tries to get as much Sunday overtime as he can. The Christian electrician who lies and says to one customer he is sick so that he can go and work for another customer that day. Various ways that we have seen people proclaiming that they are believers in Jesus Christ, but living so contrary to that claim. And they bear that name of Jesus with them wherever they go. And the world looks at them and looks then at God through them. And speaks evil about God because of them. And we say this is horrible slander to God's name. It is another way that His enemies have been given an opportunity to speak evil of Him. Yet, beloved, brothers and sisters, do we realize that it is so easy for any of us here to live that same way? It is so easy. And therefore, we pray to our Father in heaven, not because we are perfect, but because we are not perfect. Because the tendency of our heart is to stray from the Lord Jesus. We come as beggars. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." We come as those poor in spirit. We come as beggars to our Father in heaven, recognizing the tendency of our hearts. And we pray to Him in Jesus' name. "Father, give me grace to live for You, so that Your name is not blasphemed because of me." We pray for grace so that, "Father, please, so work in me and through me that Your name is glorified more and more because of me." Beloved, this request, like all prayer, calls for us to evaluate our lives. Prayer is coming into the presence of our God and Father to commune with Him. Prayer, by its very nature, calls for us to examine our hearts as we approach our Father in heaven regarding what we're asking Him. About how we are approaching Him. And it is the same way with this request, "Hallowed be Your name." It's a request that really examines our hearts and helps us to evaluate ourselves. Are we truly hallowing His name? If there is in us a spirit that is slack in wanting to really know God, or a spirit that is slow to praise God, or a spirit that lives for self to God's dishonor, then we are to confess it. Ask Christ to forgive us for such sinfulness. He died to provide us cleansing for us, so we can begin again to hallow His name. the Christ who is there on that mountain, teaching his kingdom citizens, teaching us to pray, would go years later to the cross with the names of his people on his heart. He would die for sinful people like you and like me, paying that price, earn for us that grace needed to live more and more for him. It is because Christ knew of our sinfulness. It is because Christ knows of our need of strength that he calls us to pray this prayer, requesting that the Father give us the grace to live to his glory. Christ, who died in the place of sinners like us, died to earn for us this grace to live. And he is at the Father's right hand as our high priest, pleading for our request, pleading our request for us. And the Father, who appointed our high priest, willingly hears us and gives us the grace to hallow his name. Let us continue to pray for grace with that confidence that we have, not in ourselves, but in the person and work of our high priest, Jesus Christ. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace through Jesus Christ, knowing that in him we have a sympathetic high priest who is tempted in all ways like us, yet without sin. Let us come boldly through him to a Father who willingly hears us for his sake and receive mercy, that is, for the forgiveness of our sins, to receive grace from him, so we may hallow his name. Amen. Let us pray.